بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وأسلم على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وبعد فقد قال جل وعلا في كتابه بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم من عمل صالحا من ذكر أو أنثى وهو مؤمن فلنحيينه حياة طيبة وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم هجبت النار بالشهوات وهجبت الجنة بالمكاره أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين الحمد لله رب العالمين Honorable ulama kiram, respected elders, brothers, mothers and sisters that may be listening on the receivers, we start by praising Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, sending peace and salutations upon the noble master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. First and foremost, we should be grateful and thankful to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for the numerous bounties that Allah has blessed you and I. And amongst the many, many bounties that Allah has blessed you and I, the greatest of which is the blessing of Iman. The mere fact that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala chose us to be amongst the ummah of Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that's the greatest boon and bounty from Allah. The reality of this kalima will come in front of you and I the day we close our eyes. Sahaba tasted physically also, they used to get the taste of the halawa and the sweetness of this kalima on their tongues. That is why our elders tell us, when we making the dhikr of Allah, it's to negate everything and to bring Allah in our hearts. It's to negate everything and to bring Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in our hearts. And the reality of this kalima will only come to touch our hearts is the day we close our eyes. It will be apparent in front of you and I. That is why in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in riwayat it's been mentioned, where generally 3 weeks ago I was traveling, I was in East Africa, in Kenya, and I happened to be in one of the Darul Ulums, I was visiting there, and it was obviously the time now, the end of the year came, and now it's time for exams. And the students were in the exam periods, etc., to write their parchas, to write their exams, etc. So while speaking to the students, they said, Musab, you're here, please give few words. I said, I won't take much of your time, I just have one question to ask you. What is coming in your paper? What are the sawalat, what are the questions your asatiza are going to question you on your paper? So immediately they said, we do not know. Obviously students go and look for things, the ones that are studying will understand, known as mashur maqamat, stuff like that, etc. You know, the previous papers, what the ustaz, just to get the rhythm to understand what is the mindset of the questioner, etc. I say, in qabr, the questioner is Allah. And this ummah of Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam has the questions already. We know what the questions are going to be. The three questions when a person will be laid in the qabr: Man Rabbuk, Ma Deenuk, Man Nabiyuk. Who is your Lord? Who is your Allah? Ma Deenuk, what religion you follow? Man Nabiyuk, who is your Nabi? Three questions. If our lives revolve in making sure that we live according to these three questions, inshallah in qabr, if it's in our heart, we will be able to answer. And how, and the most ironic part is, Allah has given us the questions in this dunya already. We know already what means. Me, I know when I'll be in my qabr. You know, my brother, what you will be asked in your qabr. And I was telling the students, I said, imagine laying down in the qabr, I'm not here to make anyone scared or anything, but it's haqiqat. A believer loves to meet his Allah. It's the truth. It's the cup of which the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam drank from, and that is death. Aynama takunu yudrikumul maut walau kuntum fi buruji mushayyada. Quran speaks of it. Be it in a fortified fortress you're hiding, death will come looking for you. Kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut. Allah has ordained death for each and every person. Even the animal kingdom. So that is not something that we should be scared of. A believer is never scared of death. Why? Because a Habib is going to be meeting another Habib. So he's never scared of death. So one should be prepared, if we live our lives like how Allah wants us to live our life, then we will not be scared of dying. Why? Because we're going to meet our Habib. We're going to meet the most beloved to us, and that's Allah. So I said, Allah has given us the questions already. Had we focused, I say, mashallah, the students are focusing on the exam papers. I say, you're focused here. But remember, in life, you have to be focused rather more in becoming a Muslim and a human being before your titles. Titles everyone carries in this dunya. Title everyone carries. But become an insan first. Become a believer. Sahaba were known because of becoming believers. Sahaba at one stage, nobody looked at Arabia. No one. The Yahudi in Madinatul Munawwarah never used to look at the Meccans with great honor and respect. The only reason they used to deal with them was because of trade. They were the people that buried their daughters alive. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came within them. So titles and all that can follow later on, because the moment a person is laid down in his grave, all the titles are gone. So I said, yes, work towards becoming an alim, work towards becoming a hafiz al-Quran. It's a title Allah has blessed you, but live by the title as well. Live by the title. But the first, most utmost important thing should be is we need to become human. We need to become insan. And normal insan will live his life according to Quran and Sunnah. How Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ Quran again. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. Whoever wants to find navigation, direction, and goal and achievement, look into the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's qasam, you'll find direction. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. You're looking for the love of Allah, follow the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you automatically will gain the love of Allah. So the most important aspect is a focus of a believer on daily basis, and he starts to take stock of himself. If I can take stock of myself before I go to bed and learn to forgive, biggest problem we're having is we do not let go. Something that is, maybe somebody said something to us, maybe we said something to someone. Don't hold back. Go and ask for maaf. There's bigger things to answer for in the court of Allah. Let's learn to forgive. Let's learn to forgive. Bring Allah in our lives. Our businesses. When we are busy cutting a deal, we in a deal, and we busy in that deal, is Allah found in that deal? Something has a default. Something has a fault in it, and I'm selling it to the customer. And I'm not being honest, never mind with the customer, with myself. Yet, I'm trying to brush off the customer by using flowery words. No, boy, you know what? This is level 900 we're giving you. This thing's here, you're not going to get anyway. Allah is watching. Allah is watching. Irrespective of trade that we are in. With our spouses, we're not even coming straight and truthful in front of them. We're not coming clean in front of our spouses. Allah forbid we have illicit relationships somewhere else. It's the reality. And then we want to know why this calamity is coming. I have a problem. What's the problem? Everything is just not coming right in my life. But what have you... Take stock of yourself. What is it that you've left out that Allah's mercy is not touching you? There's something I've left out. I need to take stock of myself. And then I'll be prepared for akhirah. So I was telling the students, I said, just imagine, coming back to the topic of qabr, a person is laying down in qabr, right? And then he has the planks. In Madinah Munawwara and some other places, they put the bricks or rocks, irrespective. Some places they put if there's no planks, etc., then they'll put leaves, etc., barks of the tree, and they'll cover it up with leaves. And I'm saying, imagine we in that small little hole, facing the Qibla, you're laying down, and the planks are behind you, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, amazing part, I said the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, three things will accompany a person to his grave. Two will return, one will remain with him. His a'mal, his wealth, and his family. His a'mal go with him. When a person passes away, his a'mal go with him to the qabristan in his grave. His wealth follows him, his cars, his servants, all his workers who he employed, everybody is there. That's all his wealth following him. And his family. His wealth and his family come back. What did Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? The wealth and family comes back. What remains? A'mal. And if that is not correct in my life, and I'm not taking stock of myself on a daily basis, every night before I go to bed, I have to ask myself this question, that I'm going to engage in a action which is humanitarian, which is normal, which is decreed by Allah. وَجَعَلْنَا اللَّيْلَ لِبَاسًا وَجَعَلْنَا اللَّيْلَ لِبَاسًا. Allah speaks of it. Sleep. Allah has created night for sleep. I'm going to engage in an action which is a sister to death, to mote. That is why, so somebody asked me, said, but why you call it sister to death? I said, Rasulullah s.a.w. taught us the hadith. What is the hadith? What's the dua before sleeping? Allahumma, Allahumma, bi ismika, amutu, wa ahya. The word amutu is there. Allah, with your permission, bi ismika, with your name, amutu, I'm gonna die. Wa ahya, and I'll become alive. That means with your name I go to sleep, and with your name inshallah I'll wake up. Now before we go to sleep, while we're taking stock of ourselves, are we prepared to stand up before Allah knowing that we are never ever going to wake up from our sleep? Can anyone claim to say, I am ready for that? None of us. Sahaba, and the most amazing part of Sahaba's life is they became Asharatul Mubashara. Yet nothing changed in their life. Ashara Mubashara, guaranteed Jannat. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Abu Bakr fil Jannah, Umar fil Jannah, Ali fil Jannah, Uthman fil Jannah. He kept on giving the glad tidings Jannah. If me and you went to Medina Munawwara and we just had a dream, and we just had a dream, or even if some pious personality came and told us, no, Allah has guaranteed you Jannah, me and you will walk with our shoulders broad and we'll tell the whole masjid, Bayati Salam Karo. You know who I am. We always want to be known. Let's rather become an individual, a person that is known in the gathering of Allah and Malaika. You're known there, then you are known. Known in this dunya is going to end. Every person that came on the surface of this dunya left this dunya. Focus should become akhirah. Focus should become inculcating the life of Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In tawbah and istighfar, Allah has left the doors of tawbah and istighfar. Muslim Sharif, Riyadh al-Salihin, also the hadith is there where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives an example of that individual who committed 99 murders. Many brothers must have heard this hadith. He went to a rabbi. He said he wants to make tawbah and istighfar. Immediately what happened? I'm not saying it exactly like how the words of Nabi alayhi salam is described. I'll just explain in my humble translation the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and what is the meaning of it, little bit for our understanding. So this person, he left no stone unturned of sin. Nothing. And this is something that gives us hope also as the ummah of Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's never too late to turn into tawbah and istighfar. This person left no stone unturned. Nothing. No guna. He committed every crime he could commit in his life. To the extent of murders, he committed 99 murders. He came to the rabbi. He told the rabbi, I want to change my life. The rabbi said, there's no chance for you. You're going to burn. Mar parvani chhe. There's no chance for you. He said, no, oh, okay, that's the case. You think you can forgive me? You're not going to let me get forgiven. He committed the murder again. He killed the rabbi. Now he made 100. Now when he hit 100, he told, he came to an alim. And he told an alim that I have committed 100 murders. I've committed so much sin. I still want to change my life. The alim told him, no problem. Go to a different land. Distance yourself from your environment. Leave this town and travel. And as he traveled, while traveling, Allah willing, the man passes away. Now two groups of malaika rush. Angels of adab, angels of mercy of Allah. They have an argument, who must take this person, particular individual. The Allah appointed the third angel, come. And you go and intervene between the two groups. And tell them to start measuring from his body to the land from where he left. And from his body to the land that he's going to. Whichever one he is closer to, that would be the decision. In other words, he left the city where he committed the crime. If his body is closer to that particular city and town where all haram took place in his life, then the malaika of adab should take him. And if his body is closer to the land where he's traveling to go and make tawbah to change his life, then the malaika of mercy must take him. When the angels started measuring, the hadith indicates that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed the land to become shorter on the other side and to become longer on the other side because Allah wanted to forgive that individual. And this happened in the previous ummahs. Why not the ummah of Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Man qala la ilaha illallah dakhala al-jannah. There's a lot of hope for us. On the day of Qiyamah, when it comes to intercession of Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Kanzul Ammal, the riwayat is there. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting with the people of Qabila from Muzayna. And Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam went on to explain, Ni'mar rajulu ana li shirari ummati. Faqala rajulun ya Rasulallah, anta li shirarihim fakaifa li khiyarihim. Faqala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, خيار أمتي يدخلون الجنة بأعمالهم وشرار أمتي ينتظرون شفاعتي إلا أنها مباحة يوم القيامة لجميع أمتي إلا رجل ينتقص أصحابي كذا في الكنز أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. The narration goes on to explain that a person, Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم, announced within the people while he was sitting there, he said, نعم الرجل أنا لشرار أمتي. I am the best advocate to fight the cases of the criminals of my ummah. So immediately a person from the qabila of Muzayna that was sitting there, a person stood up and said, Ya Rasulallah, anta li shiranihim fa kayfa li khiyarihim. If you are for the evil and the wicked of this ummah on the day of Qiyamah, what happens to the pious on the day of Qiyamah? He said, khiyaru ummati yadkhulun al-jannata bi'amalihim. Sahaba have nothing to worry. They were khiyar. They were khiyar. They were the best of people. And why? Why so? Because Allah claimed it in the Quran. Radiallahu anhum wa radu an. Allah was happy with them and they were happy with Allah. So they were the best of people. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, khiyaru ummati yadkhulun al-jannata bi'amalihim. The best of people of minds, the pious, will enter Jannah because of their amal. Wa shiraru ummati yantadhiruna shafa'ati. And the evil and the wicked of this ummah will be waiting for my intercession. Mishkat Sharif, the hadith carries on to explain, on the day of Qiyamah, the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will fall in sajda while being there in front of the arsh of Allah, on top of the arsh of Allah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be told, he'll fall down in sajda, he'll stand up, he'll fall in sajda, he'll stand up. This entire exercise will carry on of Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, until a time will come, the mercy of Allah will call out, Ya Muhammad, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, irfa' rasak, lift your head, sal tu'ata, ask, we will give it to you, washfa' tushaffa, intercede, we accept your intercession. Intercede, we'll accept your intercession. That's the same Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam we let down on daily basis. And especially when these times come, the holiday times come, then we get to let loose. We do not realize, Allah forbid, New Year's Eve, the youth are sitting way. If the youth of this ummah can become the youth like how Sahaba's youth were, at the age of 17, they were conquering. How will Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam be proud of you and I on the day of Qiyamah? When we as parents don't even know where our children are. No, but he's gone with his friends. And tomorrow when there's a problem, Maulana is looking for the one that has the most sleepless nights is Maulana's. Because then his phone don't stop ringing. Because you don't know what to do. And the maktab, when that Maulana was teaching the child and the child was naughty, and the Maulana brought it to the parents' attention, then that ustad was a problem. And now the child has grown up to be a misbehaving child. Now the father is looking for solution by the same alim. Till when will we start? Till when will we carry on playing games with ourselves? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is waiting on the day of Qiyamah to intercede for you and I to enter Jannah. Does that mean that we sin? We don't take stock of ourselves. Our dealings are not clean. We don't have no ta'alluq with no pious person. Our salah is not in order. Hafidhu ala salawati wa salati al-wusta. One of the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam leaving this dunya. I'm going my ummah. I'm going. As-salah. Wa ma malakat imanuk. Look after your salah and look after your workers. Look after your workers. We need to take stock of ourselves, brothers. We need to take stock. It's high time. The ummah is bleeding across the globe. Wallah, the ummah is bleeding across. Allah has given us every boon and bounty in this country. Allah has given us peace. Allah has given us iman. Allah has blessed us with wealth. Allah has blessed us with freedom of speech. Allah has blessed us with freedom of amal. We have darul rooms. We have jamiats. We have madaris. We have marakis. We have every aspect and shu'aba of deen available. MashaAllah, the tabligh jamaats are going out, traveling, there is ta'aleems taking place, there is a lot of programs and jalsas taking place, there's marakis, there's makatib system in our country. Muslim countries don't have maktab system. Allah is going to question you and لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَ إِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ Quran! Allah is going to question you and I. We gave you this bounty, what did you do about this? How did you change your life? And each one of us will be answering in the court of Allah in seclusion. وَكُلُّهُمْ Quran again. وَكُلُّهُمْ آتِيهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَرْدًا Allah said, we will bring you in front of us in seclusion. We'll cross-question you in seclusion. So brothers, it's time to turn in tawbah and istighfar. I'll end by this riwayat. Ka'ab Ahbar radiallahu anhu goes on to explain. Somebody asked the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why don't you, in Allah ata kulla nabiyin da'wah? Allah has given a supplication to every Nabi, that when he carries out that dua or makes that dua, instantly Allah grants it to him. Allama Shabir Ahmad Uthmani rahimahullah in Tafsir Uthmani, under the ayat of Rabbi habli mulka la yanbaghi li ahadin min ba'di, innaka antal wahhab, فَسَخَّرْنَا لَهُ الرِّيحَ تَجْرِي بِأَمْرِهِ etc. إلى آخر الآية. In all likelihood, under the tafsir of this ayah, he says that this was that particular dua which is granted to a Nabi. He made the dua, Allah grant me a kingdom nobody will have after me. So Allah blessed it. When Sahaba asked Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, why don't you make dua? He said, no. وَإِنِّي خَبَأْتُهَا شَفَاعَةً لِأُمَّتِي يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ I've stored that dua for that season on the day of Qiyamah, when I'll politely implore my Allah and beg Him, please may I take out that one dua of mine and rescue my ummah. Brothers, let's turn in tawbah and istighfar. Let's come back to the masjid. Fill the masjid up. Let's come back to the tilawat of Quran. Allah has given us Islam. Allah has given us salah. Allah has given us wahi. Allah has given us hadith. Allah has given us ahlullahi wa khassatu. People of Allah are still within us. Let us go and benefit. Let us turn in tawbah and istighfar. Let us change our dealings at the end of the day. There is a day coming when you and I will not be sitting here. Our children perhaps may be sitting here, but we will be answering in our graves. That day should be the happiest day for us because we're meeting our Allah. We're meeting of Allah. It mustn't be a day that we are fearful. We don't know how we are going to answer in the court of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide one and all. Subhanallah wa bihamdih. Subhanakallahumma bihamdih. La ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi.